Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of Coffee with Kia. I am Cassie Benedict. I am incredibly sweaty.
Yeah. It's a warm out today.
It is spring in Kentucky, which means it was like 30 degrees last night and like 77 degrees today. And so I apologize for my sweat. I'm Cassie Benedict, Director of Outreach Services with Kia.
I'm Keith Ritchie, Assistant Director of Outreach.
And this is a very special episode. I feel like there should be like soft music playing. This is a very special episode because we are for the first time ever filming on location at a conference. It's the Kentucky Association for College Admission Counselor Conference. It's the annual conference. We come every year. It is probably our favorite. Don't tell the other conferences. And we have a very, very special guest with us. We have the one and only Miss Stephanie Dickerson. She is the president of Kentucky ACAC. She put this shindig on this year. So Stephanie, give us a little bit. I'm gonna change it up a little bit. I'm gonna have her introduce herself and tell us about herself, and then we're gonna do coffee talk.
Sounds
everyone good.
Good
with that?
Yeah.
I'm doing it anyways, even if you're not good with it. So Stephanie, tell us about yourself.
Yeah. So I'm Stephanie Dickerson. I currently serve as the Associate Director for Outreach Scholarships and Diversity at the University of Louisville, in addition to my responsibilities here with Kentucky ACAC. Have been involved with KYACAC pretty much since I got hired at U of L. So for almost 7 years now, primarily working in our Inclusion, Access, and Success Committee within the organization, and then moving into the president cycle last year. I've had a lot of fun planning this conference. We'll be probably even a little more happy when it's over on Friday from all the stress that went into planning it. But it's been a great ride, and I'm super excited to do more work with the organization.
And we are big fans of Stephanie.
Absolutely.
Very big fans of Stephanie. When you said 7 years, I was like, whoa.
I know, right? I was like, wow. I had to do mental math for a second to make sure I had my numbers right. But yes, 7 years in July.
Wow.
So, yep.
I am getting older every day. This episode is jam-packed. So for the first third, we're going to have Stephanie. She's going to talk to us about Kentucky ACAC. I'm going to ask her some questions about the admission climate. So I'll have you mentally prepare for that one right now, given the FAFSA updates. And then we're going to let Stephanie go because she's got a big job to keep this conference running. And then Keith and I are going to talk to you about FAFSA updates. And then hopefully, if we have time, we'll get to some spring initiatives. We've got like 12 other outreach counselors running around this conference. So there's a chance we may snag one or two, I don't know, for the second two-thirds of the podcast. So we'll see how that goes. But first, a little coffee talk. All right, Stephanie. So we start the episodes out with coffee talk, which is I ask you guys a question. We all kind of give our experiences. If you need a minute to think, I prepared Stephanie 0% for any of this. I just wrote the script about 10 minutes ago.
That's the best content, though.
Right?
Live and in action. Yep.
Exactly. Off the cuff. Just here we go. So think about your career, both of you all. Think about your career. And we go to a lot of conferences in this industry. So think about some of your favorite conference moments over your career. If you guys are not prepared...
Oh, I'm ready.
You're ready.
I'm ready.
He's all
ready. Yeah, I'm ready. I was born ready.
You were born ready. Okay, Stephanie, you be thinking about yours. Yeah. Pretend to listen to him, but be thinking about your own.
Well, I'm extremely excited to be here at Kentucky ACAC back in Owensboro, which is one of my favorite towns in Kentucky, first of all. As someone who doesn't live in Kentucky, I always get excited when we come out here to Owensboro. But I would say, and I've been around for a while at Kia, and I've gone to
very
a lot of conferences.
Old.
Yes. Yeah, very, very old. And I don't know. Last year's Kentucky ACAC stands out to me in Louisville.
Yes.
I mean, the content was great, and we're off to a great start already for this year. But that social last year, I'll tell you all.
It was lit.
Our Kia crew can cut a rug.
Shut it down.
I mean, I think I'm still a little sore from dancing last year at the social.
It's going to be great. Yep.
Please remind me. I will send you guys a clip. It was so good last year that one of our staff
is good the right word to describe this.
It was something. It was something. One of our staff did a highlight reel of the social of all of us out dancing.
I need to see this.
You're gonna have to see it. There's only one portion that I'm gonna allow you guys to post publicly. But I'll send our producers that so that they can snip it in right there and we can have a little baby shark happening.
There we go. Yeah.
It really was. Kia showed out so much that like the next day all the like presenters were like, Kia had a good time at the social.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of dancing happening.
Yeah, so that to me, I don't know, that's probably going to stand out for a while. Last year's Kentucky ACAC, so we'll have to have a lot of fun here today and tomorrow as well.
We'll have to try to top it this year tonight. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Gotta start stretching now.
I was gonna say, prepare, do a little squat, little lunges, all the good things, getting ready. Yeah,
carb load.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I would definitely say I've had opportunity within the last couple of years to go to our national associations conference. The first one ever being that I went to was in Louisville, so we all got to go because it was right there in the backyard. But Houston and then Baltimore, and this year we're actually going to be in LA. So that has been a really neat experience as I've moved into the president cycle with Kentucky ACAC. To go to travel to different places in the United States, as well as just meeting people from all over the country who have been in this industry for forever and have great insights and just information. Presenting at conferences is always a fun thing to get to do. I'm doing a couple of this conference as well. But honestly, the experience of getting to plan this one, I think, has been my favorite. I was talking to Steven a second ago. I love to event plan. People tell me that was like my second calling. If I ever want to do a side business for like planning events and decorating and things like that, that I definitely have a gift in that area. But it's been great, like lots of eyes to dot and T's to cross, but I've been very excited just about the content that we've prepared, like helping educate membership and just seeing folks develop and grow, and hopefully getting a really good experience out of this conference. I think has been my favorite experience so far.
Awesome. I have to second all of that stuff about you being an event planner, because even like I've never been like in your role with mm-hmm. Kentucky ACAC. I've been part of this organization for an embarrassing amount of years. And I kind of helped as committee people throughout mm-hmm. the time. Even, you know, years ago it was in Owensboro and I helped a little bit. And I noticed when I first walked in, immediately, like, our name badges, our lanyards, the tote bags, like, just everything that's gone into this stuff, you've done a bang-up job, and we are a handful of hours in.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we are proud of you and excited to be part of this.
Thank you. I can't wait for tonight, too. I'm ready to cut up with you guys. Right. So let loose and do some celebratory. We made it. It's going well. Now let's have a little bit of fun.
That's right. So,
just to piggyback off that, I mean, you've got this running, this conference, like a well-oiled machine. I mean, from start, you know, the welcome reception, the everything being lined up, all the great sessions. It's just a great thing to be a part of.
It means a lot.
Yes. And your answer was so serious and professional. And then there's me. And this goes back. This throws it back to another Kentucky ACAC social, okay? Because these go down in history. As moments in time that will not be forgotten. So my story goes all the way back to when I first started working at Kia. I think you know this story.
Yeah.
This was the Kentucky ACAC Social in 2011, March of 2011. It was at the Lexington Griffin Gate, I believe. I had worked at Kia for a hot second, like four or five months. And you probably don't believe this about me. You probably wouldn't think this about me. I love to dance. I may not be the best at it, but I really like to dance. And so I'd been in the admissions world for a long time. So I had lots of friends at Kentucky ACAC. The social's happening. We are dancing. And it's March. So it's always a crapshoot. Is it going to be cold? Is it going to be hot? We never know. This was a particularly warm year. And as you have learned about me, I'm a sweater. So it was very sweaty. I had been dancing for many hours, and the song Drop It Like It's Hot came on. And as one who tries to follow instructions, I dropped it like it's hot. And when I did, my jeans that were soaking wet with my own sweat ripped
from the
waistband to the ankle.
Oh, no.
The whole back of it. Ripped completely out. I mean, we are talking not suitable for work, family. We're really
I don't even know how I would have recovered at that moment. Oh my gosh.
So God bless. I'm not gonna be able to remember her name. Amy Marchinowski was with me from Brescia. I don't know. She's a stay-at-home mom now, I think. But I grabbed her. She's dancing with me. So I grabbed her and I like pulled her close to me and I'm like, we have to leave. And you have to walk behind me the whole time.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, okay. And I'm like, I ripped my pants. So we walk out, and Scott Lowe, who at the time was my contact with Owensboro Catholic High School.
Love Scott.
I love Scott, yes. right? And, like, thankfully it was him. Uh-huh. But he's, like, following us. He's like, where are you guys going now? And he's and we're trying to hide like the fact away. That, yes, that, like, they're, everything about me is hanging out. And so, finally, I just say to him, I turn to him, and I'm like, listen, Scott, I've ripped my pants. So you are welcome to come with us. But I am inappropriate right now. So I get it all taken care of. Fast forward about a week, and Chris Dressler was a counselor here. She was in charge of the college coaches program at Kia. She now is at Sky CTC, I believe. And she was wonderful. She was one of my mentors, and I took her place when I was hired at Kia. And so I talked to her a lot, and I told her the story. I was like, you're not going to believe what happened. I tell her the story. We have a good laugh. About a week later, Michael Meredith from, at the time, was at Grayson County High School, sends me a text message. And he said, saw the photos of your wardrobe malfunction at the social.
No.
I am dying. Yes. So I lose it.
Oh, no.
I am like, I'm fired.
Oh, my God.
I don't have a job now. I left this job, and now I'm going to get fired 4 months in. And I am like, and if I don't know, if I don't think you, this was before Stephanie time.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So back in the day, there was this guy named Dick McLaughlin. He worked at UPS, and he was kind of like the photographer. He always had his camera. He took all the pictures. He did a slideshow at the end. He posted the photos. I'm like emailing Dick. I am like texting everyone I know with Kentucky ACAC. Yes. Where did Michael see these photos? Where are these photos posted? What is going on? I've got to get Dick to take these down. I may have even shot off an email to Dick like, hey, if there's an inappropriate photo of me, it has to come down immediately. So I'm losing my mind. Then my phone rings, and it's Chris Dressler. And I answer, and she says, you've been punked.
Oh my gosh.
There were no photos.
I died. Like, I literally died. Oh my God.
I think I did. That was the end of Cassie as we knew her back then. She said, there are no photos. Michael Meredith doesn't even know what happened. She said, I just told him, text Cassie these words.
Oh my God.
And it was the most stressful hour of my life, thinking there was an inappropriate.
Just floating around out there. Right. Oh my goodness.
So no dropping anything like it's hot,
yeah.
Which at this point in my life, I would not be able to get back up. Yeah. So there will be none of that. But that is my favorite conference moment.
Yeah.
That's great.
Be dropping it like it's room temperature from here on out.
There you go. Drop it like it's lukewarm.
Yes.
Just enough to be able to get back up.
That's right. Right. Yeah. A little spot. So there you go. Now you know way more about me than you ever wanted to know. That's great. All right. Let's get into some real stuff here. Mm-hmm. So Stephanie, give us a little bit of background about Kentucky ACAC. We doing all right back there, producers? We're getting a thumbs up. Give us a little background on Kentucky ACAC, what the organization is, just kind of some background.
Yeah, so Kentucky Association for College Admissions Counseling is a group of individuals from all across the state, as well as some of our bordering states who have folks that recruit here in the state of Kentucky, and our high school counselors from all over the state. And it's really an organization that is designed to help with access, college going, career preparation, celebrating our students as they're graduating from high school, and really just being a good resource for our students across the state, making sure that we're always knowledgeable, educated, and how to best serve our students are here in the state of Kentucky. So usually membership tends to come in about 300 to 400 a year with our members who are active and involved with the organization. So about 7 years of involvement myself, but every year I'm just always impressed by the things that we do as an organization and love to do new things as well. But it's just made up of a lot of really great people who I think are truly dedicated to our student success here in the state, no matter what those paths may look like, but just being a good resource and support for our kiddos here in Kentucky.
So the thing that I love about this, kind of that part.
You won't.
I know. So the thing that I love about this association is that it is both college admission counselors and high school counselors.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really is kind of an opportunity for us to learn from each other and build those relationships. And so if you are listening to this and you are in this and you're in Kentucky or even, like you said, surrounding mm-hmm. states, and you're a college admission counselor, you work on an admission team, you're a high school counselor, or you do any sort of high school like direct service, college access,
absolutely
join this association.
Yes.
It is worth all the money. that is really not that much.
I was going to say, it's like $15 to join, it's not bad at all. Yeah.
To tell you, I mean, Key is a not-for-profit state agency, and we have almost all of our, I think all of our staff are members, and then we also bring about 15 or 16 staff members to conference every single year.
Yes.
That's how affordable it is. Mm-hmm. So, and it's important to us because this is one of the most informative, and the relationship building and the networking that it just checks all the boxes for Kia.
Yeah, so what I like about it, I mean, it really is like all encompassing. It's a little bit of everything. Yes. And you can walk away with so many different connections, learn about some of the resources. And every time I've gone to this conference over the last 10 years, I've always walked away meeting new people that work in similar positions and coming up with new ideas. Yes, and absolutely. To me, that's what it's all about.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. So tell us, Stephanie, there's exciting things happening. Mm-hmm. In the next few months with Kentucky ACAC. Tell us some of those things.
Yeah, so we have a couple of things coming up here during the summer, as well as kicking off to our fall travel season in September. But during the summer, we will actually be hosting another new admissions counselor retreat. But this year, we're also bringing back an iteration of that for our high school counselors who are new. Yeah, so we will have training on both sides, professional development wise. Last year, we were at Lake Cumberland Resort State Park, which was beautiful to have the retreat at. So if you are a new professional on either side of the desk with less than 5 years of experience, we will have training surrounding FAFSA, how to host campus visits, just basic kind of like tenets of becoming a successful resource for students at that retreat. And then there's always fun things to do afterwards, s'mores, campfire, games. Again, great way to meet folks and just let loose and know that you're not alone. There are other new folks who are out there who are learning. We always are learning from each other. And then just really getting tapped into the organization, because lots of times our president's group will come. We'll have other members from our board that'll come out to meet the new members too. So it's just a great thing to do to get involved. And then in September, our big kickoff event, the College Counseling Information Exchange, CCIE, which typically draws about 200 folks, will be another like kind of mini version of this conference with some more professional development. But focuses more on updating our high school counselors about all the changes that they'll need to know for their high school students who are looking at potentially being students. So I guess this would be fall of 25. So they can help advise their new seniors that they have in their high schools. So
we love CCIE. That's another one we send a lot of people to. And you guys have really enhanced it in the last few years. I remember a million years ago attending and it just being kind of a welcome. And then every college would get up and have 5 minute updates. And so it was a lot of sitting and listening. It was wonderful, but it was a lot of sitting and listening. And now you have like the professional development breakout sessions. And I think we went last year and talked about the FAFSA, and it's just a great event.
U of L will host again this year, is what the plan. Great location. So we'll be on U of L's campus again. So
And affordable.
Yeah.
Affordable. One day, so it's not like you have to pay for a hotel. Mm-hmm. It's not like you have to leave your office and be away from your office for a long time.
Yes.
So CCIE is probably one of the premier events in Kentucky, I would say.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And you know, you had mentioned like the new admission counselor retreat down at Lake Cumberland. I had the opportunity to go there this year and do the FAFSA training from Kia.
Yes.
And, if you've never gone to this, if you're new to this field, you can walk away with things that will make your job easier. Mm-hmm. And that's so valuable to be able to do that. But what I love about the new admission counselor retreats is that everyone's kind of in the same boat, right? They're all kind of a little nervous. They're all kind of trying to figure out things.
Yes.
But that connection stuff happens, and that's so, so valuable.
Yeah, we had about 50 new counselors there last year. It was really well attended. It was our first year hosting just as Kentucky ACAC. Normally, we partnered with another organization to do that, and last year was our first year just taking on sole ownership of that. And myself and Hannah Peck led the planning for that last year, and it was really great. So we're excited to do it again this year.
That's awesome.
That's wonderful. I wish I could go back in time and do that.
Right.
Back when I started in admissions, they sent us to SACACS, I think. So it's like Kentucky ACAC, it's the Southern Association of College Admissions Counselors.
Yes.
And they do dry run.
Oh, yeah.
For the new. And I will not tell you those stories because I do feel like that's some character defamation there. I was 22.
Hey, we have to live and learn.
That's right. Learned a lot of lessons about. I won't even know. We're going to stop there. Okay, Stephanie, let's switch gears. Let's talk about admissions. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the, because Keith and I spend a lot of time on the podcast and just in our work life in general, and sometimes in our personal life, which is really pathetic. But we spend a lot of time talking about the FAFSA and the FAFSA updates and kind of the implications of this.
Yes.
Tell us, one thing we haven't really addressed is what is the climate in college admissions as related to what's going on with the FAFSA right now?
Yes, I definitely will say there's a lot of tiptoe anticipation that hopefully we will start to be able to receive information in the next several days. I know some smaller institutions have begun to receive those to see if they're able to start packaging and loading things successfully. In the meantime, though, we've been trying to just do a lot of communication about just doing your FAFSA period. So as we're working with our students, specifically at U of L, we do a an outreach initiative for students to meet with their admissions counselors for like a one-on-one meeting. They can sign up to meet with their person, and we are hammering the FAFSA every meeting that we have. Like, if you haven't done it yet, please make sure that you do that. While we maybe are not able to package yet, we want you to be packaged as quickly as possible when we are able to start receiving data and information from, you know, the Department of Ed, so that way you're in like the first wave of students who come through. We were able to still award scholarships because a lot of our scholarships are merit-based and don't have that financial component tied to them. So we still were able to do our scholarships to give students some kind of indicator, at least on one side of their financial aspects to be able to come to college. So we were able to release those back in January. But our financial aid office also has a good group of folks who work with our incoming freshmen to do their FAFSAs, and will answer questions as well. So we've been trying to do some strategy, and also just being flexible has been the biggest thing that we're trying to do with our students. Most universities say May 1 is like National Decision Day. Yep. Like, you need to know where you're going. And even for us, like, we, you know, a lot of colleges will say that, but we literally enroll students to like the first week of classes last year. Don't wait that late, but we will still take you if you have space. So we have space. And I think a lot of colleges have just tried to be cognizant of the fact that financial aid is a huge component for students to make their college decisions.
Right.
Especially at a school like ours, where like 40% of our students, our first gen, 40% of our students are going to be on Pell Grant when they come to U of L. So we have a very big population of students who do rely on that financial assistance for a college education. But just trying to alleviate some of the panic and things like that, especially from the parents. They're like, oh my God, like, what are we going to get? And I'm like, we're going to work quickly, try our best, but also we know that you're going to need time to look at all this information. Meet with us again. We'll talk to you about your financial aid package once you've gotten it, to really just make sure people are making sound financial decisions as well as just good college fits overall. So a little anxiety. But we're just rolling with
it's
the
all
punches.
Around.
You know, I don't think there's been a conventional year since the pandemic.
Right.
Every year is just different. You just got to roll with it. And again, just meet students where they are and really just make sure that you're giving them the best service for them and their families as you can.
Something that you hit on, Stephanie, that I think rings so true with this process. What I'm hearing, it's kind of a two-way street, you know, with the patients and doing our best, you know, on the admission side, the financial aid side, but also the student family side.
Yes.
And, you know, for students and families who are watching or listening this, I can't stress enough the importance of developing a relationship with their admission counselor at their institution, because they'll be able to give them kind of an idea of at least what you're up against, or, you know, where we're at in the time frame. So as you're waiting to hear about aid packages and FAFSA stuff to get all sorted out, make sure that you develop that relationship and check in with your admission folks.
Yes, it goes a long way. And that's what we're here for. We would not have jobs if y'all don't have questions. So definitely make sure you
need each other.
We need each other. Yes. Symbiotic relationship. Definitely make sure you're connecting with folks, because again, we know this has caused just delays and anxiety. We want to alleviate that as best as we can. So we're here to help and serve.
I love it. Seriously, your admission counselor should be your best friend.
Yes.
They really should.
First name basis. Like, you know who you are. You see the email come through, that email, that text message, that appointment, immediately know who you are. And that is a great way to, again, just have somebody who's a point person at the universities you're looking at. So if you don't know the answers, they don't know the answers, we will find you people who do. So never hesitate to utilize your resources at those universities.
I love it. Keith, anything else for Stephanie before we let her go back to her presidential?
I know you've got a lot. Yeah, Stephanie. So, yeah, no.
Lunch time is coming next. I'm definitely excited about that, because I skipped breakfast from being nervous this morning. So, my stomach is over here talking.
We don't want to miss that.
11 o'clock.
Okay.
So,
oh, okay.
11 o'clock.
And we got some good
Let's wrap this up, Cass.
And that's it for today. Thank you for coming. caught me with Kia. Seriously, anything else you want to tell us before you head to lunch?
I don't think so. Just thank you guys for having me. And I'm always happy to do anything for y'all. I was telling Steven I was with Mackenzie a couple of weeks ago for the Minority Resources panel, and that was so much fun
y'all
as well.
Such a great
so
job.
I'm glad she asked me. Mm-hmm. So, but anything y'all ever need, we love Kia and just the partnership y'all bring to the organization and just the services you give to so many students. So whatever y'all need, I'm always a yes. So
I love it. We love Stephanie so much. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
You are just a ray of sunshine in the world of admissions and financial aid in Kentucky ACAC. So you can find us tonight on the dance floor.
And I'll be right there with y'all.
Right.
Like I said, we're going to have some fun tonight. So it's going to be great.
I love it. All right, Stephanie. Thank you so much. We're actually going to take a little break and hear from our sponsors. We will be back.
Did you know the money you need for college is right here in Kentucky? Some families will need to borrow student loans to help cover college expenses. The Kentucky Advantage Education Loan, offered by Kentucky's only nonprofit lender, offers a low-cost, fixed-rate, zero-fee private loan. If you need to borrow, choose wisely. Choose the Kentucky Advantage Loan.
We're back. We want to talk about some FAFSA updates before we go to lunch, because we don't miss that portion of the conference. Okay, so Keith, a lot of things going on. I'm just going to let you take the lead in talking us through this, because he was on the call that got the information.
Yeah, all right, start the
hot
timer.
Off the
Here
presses.
We go. No, honestly, the last few days, there have been a lot of updates in the FAFSA world.
Tell them what today is. Today is Thursday, the 14th of March.
Thank you for, because I would have had no idea what day it is. So today's Thursday, the 14th, and this would have been, I guess, Monday or Tuesday that a lot of these started coming out. I guess that's when that call was. But I'll tell you this, since this thing opened up at the end of December, we've now had 5.58 million FAFSAs submitted. And with all of the issues that everyone talks about in terms of the FAFSA not working right and all these glitches, it's a good chunk of FAFSAs that have gotten to the finish line.
Right.
So that's solid. Here's the thing. You know, we've talked about this a lot over the last couple months. We've all been waiting for mid-March, right? Well, the good news is we're here. And
it's officially mid-March.
Exactly. And federal student aid has begun releasing FAFSA data to schools. We talked about in the last episode what that means. You know, you'll hear every now and then people talk about an ICER. All that is basically what the schools see from your FAFSA. You see the FAFSA on the front end, the schools see that ICER. That's what they use to start processing everything they need to get those award packages. They're being released in a slow trickle.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things we've wondered for a while, how that was going to look. Was it going to be like floodgates open, or is it just going to be slowly released? And it turns out it was a slow trick, which is probably for the best to make sure that this goes through as smoothly as it can.
Right.
But I do know that they are gradually increasing the number of FAFSAs that are being released to the schools and to aid agencies throughout the country. So it should, from here on out, begin. We're going to start seeing a higher percentage of FAFSAs getting to
trickle.
Where they need to be.
Yes,
exactly.
A faster trickle.
And you know what they had mentioned on one of these.
Just pretend I didn't say that.
Yeah. All right. So we'll just cross that one off.
Strike that from the record,
yeah.
Please.
So I will say that, you know, that over the next few days, we're going to see a higher percentage of these FAFSAs getting to the finish line, which is all great news. Starting this week, all right, we're going to start getting these email notifications. So if you're a student or a family who have already submitted your FAFSA and you've been waiting for these to be released, check your inbox, because there's a good chance you might have an email from the U.S. Department of Education or Federal Student Aid telling you that the FAFSA is now processed.
Right.
If you've been looking on there, you've been logging in, it says in review for the last, you know, several weeks. Now, more and more of these are going to say, hey, it's processed. It's being sent to the list of colleges that you put on the FAFSA. Here's the tricky thing that we still got to kind of sort through.
Right.
We've talked a lot about this idea of the FAFSA is being released and you have the ability to then go in and make your corrections. And theoretically, that's how this works. Once your FAFSA is processed, and that's how it's been any year.
Right.
Once that FAFSA gets processed, you're able to then jump in, add schools if you need to, make your updates and corrections. Not quite there yet.
Right. Again, not what we were led to believe.
Right. So basically, what the new time frame that was announced this week is that the processing, the colleges are going to receive these FAFSA transactions now, and they're going to continue getting those every day, but we're still not able to actually make any corrections. So when you get that email from the Department of Education saying it's been processed, that's good. That means you've made it to the next step in this game, but you're still not able to log in and make any updates or corrections to your FAFSA at this point. They did give us a time frame, an estimate of late March.
Right.
So that tells me over the next couple of weeks, they should have that up and going.
Right.
And that's huge. Need to make sure that you check a few things. And for those of you who have already submitted it, I'm going to tell you one thing in particular that's been, you know, a pretty big issue.
Right, a headache.
There's a question on the FAFSA specifically that asks about, or, but I don't know exactly, I'm trying to remember how it's exactly
says if
worded.
You would, something about if you would like to only
get an unsubsidized loan.
Right.
But the way it's worded, it's not a double negative, but it's like, yeah. It's like one
confusing.
Of those, it's like, do you not love me?
Yeah.
Like, what's the answer to that? You know?
Why don't you not love me?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it always reminds me of when I see that.
Yeah.
Well, they did mention in this call that I was on that, that there are quite a few people who have answered, yes, I only want an unsubsidized loan. Some of them are legitimate and that may be the situation that they need. There are probably a lot of folks who may have answered that incorrectly.
And the reason why you would answer that is why you would answer yes to that. Because you might be saying, like, well, why would anyone just want an unsub loan? If a student can't provide parent information, but they don't qualify as an independent student based on those indicators that make you an independent student, sometimes they can say, but I don't want to go through the override process and all that. I just want an unsub loan. Or a parent could say, I don't want to provide you with my tax information. I don't want to provide consent to let you view what the IRS can already see. I just want an unsub loan. And so that's the reason why that question is on there. Mm-hmm. But it's incredibly confusing.
If I was king for a day, I'd probably get rid of that question. Because here's the thing. It's not anything
you're
new.
You're not?
I sometimes I think I am, but
you know. I was under the impression you were king this whole time.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe we got to change some things up now.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue on. Ignore
me. I guess what I'm trying to get at, Cass, is that none of that's new. We've all, like 10 years ago, if you didn't have, you know, if it wasn't going to be an option to be able to get parent information, you could always go the unsubsidized loan route.
Right.
Just wasn't a question on the FAFSA. So, you know what I mean? Like, you would just have a conversation with your financial aid office, and then eventually you would kind of get routed to that outcome. So I just, that is one thing. I just want to throw that out there that they did mention that quite a few people have answered that question.
And very likely.
Yeah.
Incorrectly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just FYI, when your FAFSA is processed and you're able to go in there, check that answer just to make sure that you get everything coming to you that you can from a financial aid standpoint.
Right.
The other thing that we've been waiting on and holding our breath about is mixed status families and their ability to be able to set up an FSA ID.
Right.
And be able to access the FAFSA and get it all the way through. So they do have an update on that. If you remember our last episode, we talked about site maintenance.
Right.
That they were going to basically shut down the FAFSA for like 10 hours.
Yes.
Well, that was one of the things that we thought.
Right.
That was like, okay, they're going to finally get some of these things going. And it sounds like those were some of the glitches
and we
that they did
right.
finally
again.
Work out. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Again.
So, so the latest with that is this. You can now, as like if your parents are undocumented or if they don't have a social security number, they can now theoretically get their FSA ID set up through studentaid.gov. All right?
Right.
So this was the system we've been waiting on. We were told that it would be ready day one of the FAFSA.
December 30th. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't. You know, December 30th, March 14th, you know, who's counting? But anyway.
End of March.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the good news is it's there now. So if you've been waiting for that to happen, you're ready to roll to get that FAFSA taken care of.
Yeah. And that will open up the, you know, availability to a multitude of families.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know our outreach counselors have been stressed about that and have gotten so many questions about it. So I'm thrilled that is finally up and running. Here's the issue.
Always an asterisk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always an asterisk.
Bit. It's all right.
What did you say the other day? You're full of butts.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a but.
So I was like, but I'm full of butts.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait for the day that I just have good news, right, and that's it.
And know? Then there's just a period at the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, that's how
the FAFSA roller coaster.
Yeah. But anyway, so you can set up that FSA ID now, and you can complete a FAFSA as a family now, you know, mixed status family situation. But here's the issue. If you don't have a social security number as a parent, we were told that you'd be able to use your I-10, your tax identification number, in order to pull IRS information directly onto the FAFSA automatically through the direct data exchange.
Right. Make all of that process seamless. Yeah.
So for folks who have an I-10 number, unfortunately, that part is not ready to go yet. So you're not going to be able to automatically pull that tax information. Not the end of the world. All that means is once your parent sets up that FSA ID,
right,
then you'll be able to manually input your tax information onto the FAFSA, which is not all that far off from how a lot of families used to complete the FAFSA anyway.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is, you know, when you're on that FAFSA, you're going to look at your 2022 taxes and just kind of read carefully through each question and input that.
Right.
Of course, reach out to our outreach staff because we're well-trained in it, and we have folks in every corner of the state willing to help you with those questions if you get stuck with any of it. But just know that if your parents are undocumented or if they have an I-10 number and not a social, we're not going to be able to automatically pull it in yet. They are working on it. They don't have a timeline,
right,
as to when it'll be resolved, but you will be able to at least manually input that stuff.
So it's like we're halfway there.
Yeah, yeah. I will say of all of these updates, I do feel like this week, I feel like we're making the most amount of progress that we have in this entire cycle.
I agree.
So I'm completely pretty excited about that.
I agree completely. Yes.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other updates?
If you've been some of the families who have been stuck in this limbo of FSA ID issues where they've required like extra documentation, they did mention in this call that there's a significant backlog, but they did hope that, well, they said their goal was to be up to date on that backlog by the end of this week. So it doesn't mean everything will be resolved, but at least they'll notify you of something. So if you've, you know, had to send in extra documentation to get your FSA ID established or reset over the last couple months, hold tight. You should be getting something very, very soon, if not already.
Yeah. Which is, you know, the backlog, bad news, but getting through that backlog, good news.
Yeah.
So we've got a bit of a mixed bag of updates today. but one of the most breaking and important updates is that lunch is in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So as you can see, that's a very important part of my day. And so we're gonna stop there. We're gonna come back to you soon, week, 2 weeks, I don't know. I'm looking at our producers, I'm like, I don't think we have anything scheduled. 3 or 4 weeks. They're like doing sign language to us right now.
Are we recording when we come back to Owensboro next week for capture?
No.
So April 10th is the next
recording.
At CAFSA.
We're coming next month. We're coming back on location with the Kentucky Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators
in Lexington this year.
This year, register for that if you haven't. If you are in financial aid, you should probably register for that. We'd love for you to come. I hear it's going to be planned beautifully.
Yeah.
I feel like I know the person planning it. I feel like we're like this.
Yeah.
I feel like she's not doing everything she's supposed to be doing right now. Because she's busy filming podcasts and attending other conferences.
Sorry, she's here taking notes.
That's right. I'm learning. I'm dry run. So we're going to be on location at CAS, but we will film one between now and then. We'll figure something out and get it out to you guys because we feel confident there will be updates before the next time we're on location at a conference. So as always, thank you for joining us with Coffee with Kia. Thank you again to Stephanie Dickerson, our guest, who is phenomenal and wonderful. Thank you to our producers for traveling to the fine city of Owensboro. I'm about to give them some phenomenal lunch recommendations. And until next time, Kia later.